Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, Episode 23, Revenant Wings. I am one of your co-hosts, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my diabolical overlord, Chris Slate.
Hello.
And this may shock you, but we are back once again to talk about Nintendo. In fact, we have a whole bunch of Nintendo news that broke right after we did last week's episode, in fact. And it all comes out of the quarterly investor briefing that comes out of NCL. That's, Nintendo over in Japan. And I think we're going to kick it off by going over their updated release schedule, because as part of that, they ran down everything that they've got coming in the next several months and even into next year. So let's go down this list, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right. So, as we record this, we're only a couple days away from Yo-Kai Watch coming out. It's the crazy Pokemon-like sensation that went nuts in Japan. We'll be getting it soon. I'm, very interested in it. I hope I have time to play it. But, that's coming on November 6th. Next up, we have Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival on November 13th. And hopefully that's way better than we're hoping, because it hasn't been looking so hot from the last time we saw it.
I saw a couple of things recently where they were talking about a couple different modes that I didn't, to be honest, I couldn't muster the enthusiasm to read too much more into it. But it could be that there's at least a little bit more than, obviously there was going to be more than what they showed at E3. But I feel like it probably won't be enough to change our overall opinion of the game. But, if it's good enough for my kids, I guess that's all it really seems to be trying to achieve anyway.
All that really matters is that it comes with Amiibo, and thus we are both buying it whether we really want to or not.
Yep.
So then we have, on November 20th, we got two releases. We got Mario Tennis Ultra Smash and Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon, which I kind of almost forgot about.
Yeah, the Mystery Dungeon games, I think even if you're a diehard Pokemon fanatic, aren't, the games that you necessarily get out of bed for. But it's cool to have it, and, I guess I'd say the same about Mario Tennis. I'm not really excited about it, but would I rather it not exist? I'd rather it existed.
Now, the one I'm excited about is on December 4th. Xenoblade Chronicles X will finally be coming out. And, of course, there was a little bit of news about that in the past week or so. We found out that a little bit of the content is being censored for North America. Did you follow that controversy?
Yeah, I saw the comparison screens. My first reaction when I hear that anything's been censored or changed between territories is, oh, come on, I want to see the game in its original version as someone originally intended when they made it. Mm-hmm. But then you see the screens and you're like, okay, it's a 15-year-old girl in the most ridiculous skimpy bikini. Maybe it is more appropriate if they cover her up a bit more, which they did in the North American costume.
It is a ridiculous costume, but, my feeling is that, if it's acceptable for Japan, it should be acceptable for the rest of the world. Do I care? Am I lusting after this outfit? No. But, they should think about these things ahead of time, because nobody likes thinking, oh, we're getting an altered, different version. It's not really what the creators intended. So, maybe they should think things through ahead of time and try to make everything, territory friendly or world friendly rather, before they go around making changes. That way nobody has to feel left out or anything. But regardless, very much looking forward to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then a week after that, on December 11th, we have Devil's Third. It's already out in other territories. Supposedly it's not so great. Then strangely enough, still on this release list is Project Guard, temporary name. Supposedly coming out sometime this year still.
That was one of the biggest mysteries of this list. And, if people remember, Project Guard was shown, was it this last E3 or the E3? No, it was E3 before.
Yeah, it was last year, 2014.
It was when Miyamoto first announced he was working on a new Star Fox, mm-hmm. but all he showed was kind of behind closed doors at demos using old N64 textures and models.
Yeah, and Project Guard was perhaps going to be part of Star Fox. We weren't really sure.
Right. It was this multiplayer focused thing where one person was looking at the screen and they could view all these different, cameras that were set up to kind of protect the base. And while these robot looking type characters tried to invade the base, you had to, different people would shout out, hey, someone's in, the lower left quadrant, someone's entering through that way, get them out. So it seemed like the kind of thing that might be fun with a group of friends for a little bit, but you know, you really wanted to see what they were going to do with it and how they might evolve it. So hopefully when we see it in its final form, it's something a bit more significant. Although I suspect this will be a digital-only release, and it seems to play into a statement that Nintendo President Kimishima made during the investor briefing, which is that there were still games coming up relatively soon that had not yet you know, been shown, really. But I bet those weren't, you know, significant physical, you know, or games that were set for significant physical release.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing. I was thinking, you know, if this is real, if this is just a mistake that they somehow left on there, then it's probably going to be a digital release. Maybe it's one of those games he was talking about. Yeah, I was kind of also hoping that, you know, one of these unannounced games might be, you know, Picross 3D for North America, or Picross 3D 2 for North America, because it came out recently in Japan, and it would be kind of cool if we got it over here, but, you know, nothing confirmed for that.
Totally. And you know what would be another nice surprise is if that Rhythm Heaven game came out over here.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's been out for a little while over there, and although it's mostly kind of a greatest hits compilation of previous levels, I love that series. I'd happily play them all again in a shiny new package.
Yeah, that would be great. And then, of course, there's that continuing rumor about you know, getting a remake of Twilight Princess. And while it seems quite a stretch to say, oh, that would come out sometime this year, with only you know, less than 2 months to go, that would certainly be amazing.
Yeah, and there's new you know, fuel added to that fire, out of those rumors, because when they were showing their slide presentation during the investor briefing, they showed just a, you know, kind of a typical screen introducing one part of their briefing that just had a bunch of classic Nintendo character artwork on it.
Yeah, just an artwork collage, pretty much.
Right, but people noticed that the artwork of Link that was included with all the other characters is brand new artwork, but it's of Link in the exact same pose that he was in one of the most common pieces of promotional artwork they used for the original Twilight Princess.
Yeah, it was a remade piece of Twilight Princess artwork.
Yeah, he'd been polished up. I mean, it's clearly a new piece, but he's clearly in that exact same pose. So why would that piece even exist if there wasn't going to be a Twilight Princess HD?
Makes you wonder.
Yeah.
But speaking of Zelda, you know, moving on down the list in Q1 2016, we've got Hyrule Warriors Legends for 3DS, and we have Star Fox Zero. Now, I thought Star Fox had already been confirmed for February, but maybe I'm thinking wrong there.
I'm not sure. The only thing I remember for sure was that Miyamoto, right when the delay happened, said that he would, I forget his exact wording, but it didn't sound like they had committed to quarter one at that point. It sounded like that's what he's targeting, or that's what he hoped to achieve.
Right.
But I guess they've made that more solid here with this release list.
Mm-hmm. Then after that, presumably in spring 2016, we have a Pokken Tournament, the Pokemon fighting game. And then just sometime in 2016 for North America, we've got the Fire Emblem Fates games, Birthright and Conquest, Bravely Second Endlayer, the highly anticipated Metroid Prime Federation Force.
God.
I think pretty much everybody had kind of wiped that from their memories, was kind of hoping it was you know, just a bad dream. But oh yeah, we forgot about that one. It's still coming next year.
That thing's just being sent out to die.
Then we got Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games for both Wii U and 3DS. And then we have the Shin Megami Tensei Fire Emblem crossover, the name of which I can't even begin to remember at this point.
I'm going to give it a shot. I think it's Genai Idun Roach hashtag FE, something like that.
Good enough for me.
By the way, I think we may have skipped over Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, which I have down for spring as well.
Oh, that's right. Good catch.
Yep. I tend to forget about that one, but it's probably my most looked forward to 3DS title behind Fire Emblem.
Yeah, that should be a good one. Very good one. And then the other two games that were on the list, of course, with just TBD dates, were Zelda, which, you know, they still aren't even committing to a 2016 release for that.
Yeah.
And the other game that was shown off alongside Project Guard, Project Giant Robo.
I can't believe it's so weird to see TBD, like you know, this game doesn't have a release date, but we just want to make sure you know it's coming because it's a significant title. And then you see The Legend of Zelda and Project Giant Robo.
Yep.
That game... and it did not look good to me when it was shown 2 years ago at E3. The idea of, you know, when they would stand there and try to kind of tilt, you know, the gamepad to kind of manipulate marionette style these giant robots. I mean, it sounds fun, and maybe they, you know, maybe that was more of a rough kind of first pass, and they've polished it up since then. But unlike The Legend of Zelda for Wii U or NX or whatever it ends up on, I am not necessarily holding my breath for Project Giant Robot.
Yeah, if that one never comes out, it probably wouldn't be the end of the world.
Probably another digital-only title, I would imagine.
But on top of all those game releases, there was, of course, a whole bunch of new news about Nintendo's upcoming endeavors. They have finally made some announcements about their account system. And man, can you believe it? It is called Nintendo Account. That's right. They paid somebody to come up with that name.
You know what, though? I think that's fine. I think it's you know, it says what it is, and because it's going to be used so broadly across so many devices, you know, why not? Why not just make it Nintendo Account? Maybe having such a basic name means this one will stick, since they didn't get too fancy or cute with it.
Well, you're probably not going to forget what it is.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you'd think, you know, information delivered at an investor's briefing about an account system might be boring news, but actually, this is pretty exciting stuff. You know, it's maybe a shame to say that in this day and age, we would get excited about this. It's kind of like when Nintendo finally introduced folders to their operating systems. But yeah, I mean, a unified account system. So, you know, ideally, if it works as beautifully as something like iOS, whether you're on your iPad or your iPhone, you buy one game, you've got one unified account system that remembers your purchases, your credit card, all your transactions. And that's what we're going to get now for 3DS and Wii U and eventually the NX. And it will also work across smartphones, tablets, PCs. And they're even talking about using that account system at theme parks, which I suppose they must mean the new Nintendo attractions that will be at that were announced for Universal. But yeah, they're getting pretty ambitious with that. And it's good. It's about damn time they've finally done that, because that's kept me from buying a lot of virtual console stuff, as I feel like I don't want to have to rebuy that stuff every generation or potentially lose it all if my hardware breaks.
Well, they haven't made any promises about that. But you know, they have promised that it'll you know, allow users to have data that gets shared across like mobile platforms and consoles. So, you know, maybe something you do in one game unlocks something in a different game or things like that. And then, you know, things are definitely beneficial on their side, you know, by going through, you know, various channels, it should be easier to purchase, you know, digital versions of games. Like, you know, you're able to buy them, you know, straight from the website and through various other outlets, apparently, with part of this account system.
Yeah, and then they'll automatically download to your systems at home, your dedicated
right.
gaming consoles.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and apparently it's going to be really easy to sign up for and log into. Kimishima made a point in his presentation to talk about how half of people who are signing up for accounts give up halfway through the sign-up process, and another big percentage, you know, don't come back. But apparently, you'll be able to use your existing, you know, Nintendo Network ID, mm-hmm. or, you know, just the email and password that you signed up with. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, if you want to take the super quick way, just log in with your Facebook, Google, or Twitter accounts. So it sounds like it's kind of shocking, because, you know, Nintendo's always done things their own very kind of isolated way. They've always kind of tried to reinvent the wheel. And here they are just saying, yeah, just log into your Nintendo stuff with Google and Facebook. I mean, it's pretty radical for those guys, and I'm glad to see them finally stepping up into the modern times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, personally, I'll just be using my old Nintendo account information. But hey, whatever works. Nothing wrong with having all those different options out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, to go along with the Nintendo account, there is the new rewards program, the successor to Club Nintendo, and it is called My Nintendo.
Yeah, and someone pointed this out online. I think My Nintendo used to be the term for something on Nintendo's website way back when, but I had forgotten it, and apparently, you know, it wasn't significant enough that they couldn't reuse it here.
Whether it was or not, it is back. It is the rewards program. You'll be able to use it a lot like Club Nintendo, really. You know, they're promising that you'll be able to, you'll get points for buying games and for playing games, and you'll be able to, you know, redeem this stuff for original merchandise, maybe for DLC, maybe for coupons off of games.
Yeah, all of those were cited as examples. And that's exciting stuff because I don't think anybody expected, I certainly didn't, original merchandise to come back.
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, going to be off the table.
I mean, it was pretty much off the table for the last couple of years of Club Nintendo, at least here in America. So, you know, I don't know how ambitious they're going to be with that stuff. And maybe they don't have to fill a whole catalog with it, but occasionally if they just offer some kind of cool premium item or even a soundtrack, you know, that's going to be great. And
yeah, I've been pushing for, you know, digital soundtracks is something I really kept wanting on Club Nintendo for a long time. That would be nice.
Yeah, and you know, in a world now where you can log into your Nintendo account with Google and Twitter and Facebook, maybe they'll offer you can turn your points into you know, iTunes promo codes to download that kind of stuff.
Yep, that'd be cool. But I mean, for me, the important thing is to have, you know, parity across territories. I mean, we were seeing so much cool stuff available for Japan and for Europe, and the U.S. would be like, yeah, you get nothing.
Or yeah, here's a virtual console game, or like a, you know, if you're lucky, like a desk calendar. While over in even in the Club Nintendo in Europe, they had like a special commemorative golden Mario coin just to signify the closing of their Club Nintendo. Yep. You know, it's like, you know, thanks for tuning in, and here's this special thing right here at the end. We just gotta, well, okay, here, you can rummage through these old games and pick one, whatever. Just don't complain to us is what it felt like.
Yeah, yep. So I guess we'll have to see how it unfolds. But, you know, I'll cross my fingers. You know, when Club Nintendo kicked off, it was pretty great. So hopefully my Nintendo will be as well. Oh, and they also said that there will be benefits for members at real-life locations, like movie theaters, retailers, and probably the theme parks that you were alluding to earlier.
Yeah, I mean, it's now that they the sky seems to be the limit here, it's pretty cool to think about how much they might be able to tie everything they do all together into this service. And, you know, one of the things that you just touched on really briefly there is that you'll not only get points from purchasing games, but also from playing them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that opens up a whole world of possibilities. And the idea that you could, you know, I don't know exactly how detailed it's going to be, but, you know, could it work where, you know, if you actually beat a game, for example, or 100% completed it, maybe you'll get some extra special points that can then be get you real rewards. And another thing is they're going to have access to your purchase records and your play records. So, you know, one of the examples they cited on how they might act out that information was mostly promotional. You know, if it's your birthday, they might send you a coupon. They said if you bought an Animal Crossing game, maybe Isabel would send you some kind of gift. I don't know what they meant by that. But, you know, if they're tracking, you know, what you're playing, it makes me think of the old, you know, old, before the NES, back on the old Atari. The Activision had this thing where if you beat certain games and you could take photographs to prove it and send them in, they would send you these real patches. You could theoretically sew on some jacket, you know, if you're going to wear that jacket into a world where everyone thought you were cool for having beaten a bunch of video games. But
yeah, I guess that's better than a gamer score or trophies, huh?
Yeah, I mean, so maybe, you know, if you're the type of person they see you've spent a ton of money and a ton of time on their games and you happen to have, I don't know, gotten a top ranking in some, you know, online leaderboard, or maybe you got a new medal in Mario Maker because people dig your levels. Maybe they can send out special rewards or special offers for those kind of things.
Yeah, I've heard people saying, you know, Nintendo needs to get on this universal achievement thing like the competition has. And if they did something like that that actually turned into real world prizes, that could be pretty cool.
Yeah, I've never been one for the old Xbox Gamerscore model because it's just so random and arbitrary, you know, which games offer points and how difficult it is to get them. You know, there's no real parity there. So I don't know, whatever. It just never appealed to me. But if you tie it into something like this for Nintendo games that I really care about, then maybe it could be something really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of exciting, one of the other big things at the briefing was the reveal of their first mobile game. And you know, I don't think I mentioned it at the top of the show, but that's going to be our big topic for today. We're going to, you know, get into that first mobile game. We're going to you know, explore some other possibilities of their mobile offerings. We're going to get to that after the break, so don't think that we've forgotten about that. But one other thing I wanted to throw out about the investors' briefing was, of course, I did, you know, all their, you know, typical rundown of sales, how things are performing, all their hardware and software, and also our favorite topic. Amiibo.
Amiibo!
And I don't know if you paid too much attention to those statistics, Mr. Slate, But they did run down by territory and show which amiibo had sold best in which region of the world.
Yeah. The one for Japan kind of surprised me.
Oh, yeah? How so?
Well, from what I saw, it was the Animal Crossing cards.
Yes.
So the cards trumped all the figure amiibo. And I remember hearing someone had said that in Japan, you know, obviously they love their little collectibles, but that the size of the actual, and especially the size of them in box, of the amiibo was a little bit bigger than they're used to. And that seemed weird to me, but that seemed to be what people were kind of agreeing upon and citing as one of the reasons why, although it has been a success in Japan, amiibo aren't as big there as they are here.
I have a lot of Japanese collectibles, and that sounds like a bunch of nonsense to me.
Yeah, I never understood it, but I mean, it's something that I see a lot. And I think it's something actually, you know what? I think it actually came from Nintendo in another investor briefing. I think they were trying to explain why America, I mean, obviously we're the biggest market, but I think, you know, per capita or whatever, however you want to put it, it still was just much more exciting over here than it was in Japan, and they were trying to explain that. But in any case,
I don't know. I think someone was, you know, eating too many super mushrooms or something when they came with that explanation.
But that might explain why the amiibo cards, or if even half of that is true, or something like it is true, it might explain why the cards really took off. But
yeah, it's definitely interesting to see that they are the number one seller over there. You know, over here in the U.S., the ranking is number one, Link, followed by Mario from Smash Brothers, Pikachu, Zelda from Smash Brothers, then the Animal Crossing cards. That's interesting that they came in at number five, even though they've only been available for just a couple of weeks, really. Those are number five already. Then after that, Smash Brothers Luigi, Toon Link, Smash Brothers Bowser, Sonic, and then Smash Brothers Princess Peach.
Another thing about the cards, too, is it's a little bit apples and oranges, because most people are only going to buy one each of the figures. You know, maybe some hardcore collectors will get two, one in box and one to play with, but you're going to probably buy multiple card packs, you know, if you're into that kind of thing. So it's a little bit skewed.
Yeah, plus, you know, there's the randomness of it. There's, you know, so many more to collect. So, yeah, I guess, you know, there's a good reason that they would sell a lot. That was the only difference between America and Japan, though. The Japan list also had Modern Mario and Green Yarn Yoshi in the top 10, and those haven't even been released in the U.S. yet. And, you know, Nintendo acknowledged this, that a lot of this list has to do with, you know, how things were distributed. Like, you know, you look at the U.S. list, and you're like, really? I'm surprised that, you know, Zelda or Luigi or Peach are that high on the list, because those are, the common ones you always see in the store. I would think those aren't selling. But I guess that's because the stores just get a ton of those, so they do sell a ton of those. So that's good, I guess. You know, it's always good to see high sell-throughs of all those, even if they seem like the ones that are most common on the pegs.
Yep. It's nice to know that, you know, it's not... I mean, obviously, Mario was high up on the list. Link was tops. But it's nice to know that some of the other ones, other characters, you know, are getting out there enough to have some success, too.
Yeah, I mean, Zelda at number four, female character. That's pretty awesome.
I don't know. You know, we used to see a lot of Zelda in the stores, and my theory for why we saw so many was because people, you know, retailers saw the name Zelda and just mistook it for
them. They're like, oh, yeah, that green guy, he's really popular. We're going to buy lots of these Zelda figurines.
So it makes me wonder, actually, now if this list that was presented at the investors briefing is based on actual sell through to consumers or just sell into the retailers.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it could be a lot of retailers just ordered Zelda thinking they were Link.
But speaking of amiibo, there were a couple, or rather a trio of new amiibo that came out a couple days ago. You went out and got the Mii Amiibo 3-pack.
Yeah, and you know, we checked out your import versions a couple of weeks ago, and I agree with everything you said. There's absolutely nothing wrong with these. They're great, well crafted, you know, physical versions of the trophies from the Smash Brothers, you know, the digital versions in the game. But they are what they are. They're Miis. They're not super exciting or remarkable. But the more interesting point about their launch is you know, we've continued to see this trend on how Nintendo's making it easier and easier to get your hands on the new figures, especially retailer exclusives like these. And man, it couldn't have gotten easier than this Mii 3-pack. I actually, because of the time change, or no, it wasn't because of the time change. I was aware of that, and I made it to the store. I made it to my Toys R Us right on time at 10 o'clock a.m. when they always open. What I hadn't realized was they had just changed their hours for holiday shopping, and we're now opening at 9 a.m. So there was no line. I just breezed right in there. But yet, and not only did they have some left, they were still trying to unbox the ungodly number of these three packs they had received. Mm-hmm. So the woman had to pause from basically stocking, making a huge stack of these behind her to sell me one. So, you know, that's great. I'm sure they'll move these eventually, especially with the holiday shopping coming up. But it's great to you know, veer on, that Nintendo's now veering on the side of cautiously having more than you need rather than not enough.
Yeah, you don't want to see these, you know, sitting on pegs forever. But still, I'd rather have, too many than, not enough, and having to line up overnight and things like that. I hope those days are behind us. But I was out of town over the weekend, or I was actually traveling on that day, and I wasn't able to get to a Toys R Us until fairly late. And by the time I got there in the afternoon, they still had 38 packs still available, and that's a relief.
Yeah. Yeah, the exclusives have been a little bit easier to get than the commons last couple of waves, but even the commons we're seeing come back now. We're seeing, and we've talked about this plenty of times, but we're seeing, like Captain Falcons and Little Macs in stores, figures that we'd never saw in stores during their initial runs. So it looks like Nintendo's finally getting this right, and they couldn't have gotten it right at a better time, as we head into Black Friday.
Yeah, even this weekend I was noticing that a whole bunch of the Wave 5 Smash figures were available. Once again, Ganondorf and Olimar, and for the first time in a store, I saw Pixel Mario, classic Pixel Mario. So it really seems like things are improving, and I think kind of that crazy bubble really did burst after Wave 4.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. But there's still more Amiibo to collect. Bunch more still coming this year. What do we got on the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, there's actually quite a few still coming out in just this month and next, mostly this month. November the 13th is going to be a big day. We've got Mewtwo, which is, a big deal. But then we've also got all the Animal Crossing Amiibo hitting. Mm-hmm. That's the day that Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival comes out, and that game comes packaged with Digby and Isabelle. And the same day, we've also got the three-pack with KK, Cyrus, and Reese. And then we've got Tom Nook and Mabel coming in individual packages, all on the 13th. Then on the 15th, we have Mega Yarn Yoshi, which is the Toys R Us in-store exclusive. And unfortunately, as we've been saying, all the exclusives have been plentiful, but they've said ahead of time that these are going to be extremely limited. So everybody stay home until I get mine. And then we've got on the 20th, we've got Falco. Then Lottie will be the last of this first wave of Animal Crossing Amiibo on the 22nd.
Yeah, she looks like she's going to be a Target exclusive in the U.S.
Oh, okay. And then Shovel Knight, still no date for that. It's just listed as Holiday 2015 on the official Amiibo website. So you still got my fingers crossed that one won't be too tricky to get.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of cool Amiibo. I don't know about you, but I am tightening my wallet a little bit as I prepare to purchase pretty much all of those. I'm a little on the fence about Yarn Yoshi, the Mega Yarn Yoshi. I'll have to see if it's easy to get. I don't really want to have to line up for it, and I'm not sure I have a good place for it. But I think all the rest are going to be no-brainers for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I've also got a, I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not, but I found myself an import Rob, and he's on the way.
Ah, well, me as well.
Yeah.
Yep, should be here before too terribly long.
It's taking him like a month to get here, so if I'm going to that much trouble just to get a different colored Rob, then of course I'm going to get Mega Yarn Yoshi.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple other little news notes before we take a break. I picked up a pretty nifty book a couple days ago, The World of Professor Layton. And, it's not just an art book. It has lots of art, but it also has, tons of design notes and behind-the-scenes interviews and all kind of in-depth information about the Professor Layton series, all the way from the first game through the sixth game. It's pretty darn cool. I haven't had a really big chance to go through it, but just flipping through it and seeing all the content, I'm pretty impressed. And if you're a fan, I think you should probably be interested in checking it out.
Cool.
And then we got that exciting Mario stuff hitting very, very soon. In fact, by the time you hear this, it'll probably be available.
Man, I played through 100 Mario Challenge on expert level last night for the first time. I managed to get all the way through.
Oh, nice.
And for God's sake, everyone, please go back and re-up your levels with checkpoints. Because I'm telling you, I come across a couple beautifully designed levels, but most of the stuff in expert mode is just, I mean, I'm still feeling pretty burned by it. Most of it is just, hey, let's just torture the player. I don't know how many levels I came across where you go to jump across a pit and you hit an invisible block and die. So I guess checkpoints won't save that stuff, but I just wanted to vent a little bit. And at the very least, if you've got a long level, or if it's especially challenging, thank God checkpoints are finally here, because it's going to make, I think, a world of difference when you're playing those modes.
Yeah, I hope you'll put that stuff to good use. I am looking forward to that update big time. So I guess we will take a little intermission, and when we come back, we will talk about Nintendo's jump to mobile. All right, we are back, and we are here to talk about our big topic, which is Nintendo's move into mobile. And at the investor briefing they had last week, they took the lid off somewhat. They showed their first game while also announcing that it is not coming out this year, as had been previously announced. It is being delayed until March. And while they still do have 5 games planned, those are now due sometime between now and like March of 2017. So the whole schedule's been pushed back a whole bunch.
Sorry, did you say March of 2017?
That is right. That is what it said in their document.
Wow, I didn't catch that part. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So instead of having 5 games between, let's say, now and March 2016, which would have only been, half a year roundabout.
Yeah, it's like 5 months from now.
Yeah. Then
yeah, so everything's been pushed back by like a year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. More or less.
That explains why investors were very unhappy and the stock kind of took a dump that day.
It
I think
did,
it
yes.
lost like a quarter of its value or something.
They lost billions on the stock market. Was it due to the fact that everything was massively delayed, or was it due to the fact that their first game was not what people were expecting? Or was it a combination of both? And, of course, what I'm alluding to is Miitomo. That is their first game. It's not Mario. It's not Zelda. It's not Metroid. It's not Donkey Kong. It is a Mii-based game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm of two minds about it. On the whole, I think, it remains to be seen. You know, they showed very little of the game. They talked about it in very, broad strokes and showed some screens of it. And we have a general idea of what it is. We'll have to see how well they execute it to really determine, obviously its quality and its value. But I think conceptually, I think it's a fine idea, but it's not an idea that excites me. But then again, I'm the kind of guy who would have been happy if Nintendo was never on mobile, at all. I mean, I think
I second you there.
I think they should be on mobile. I think it's a necessary evil from this traditional kind of console fan's perspective. But if they're going to do it, I think as a Nintendo fan, you can take, you can feel good about the fact that they didn't just say, here's an endless runner with Mario in it. You know, they really looked at the platform, and they're making something that is very specifically geared toward the mobile audience. That seems like it would have a really good chance of catching on. And I don't know. I thought it showed them being kind of smart and considerate, not just, taking the quick money, which I think is probably what the investors would rather they do.
Well, I'm not sure I can fully agree with you there. It just seems like an odd choice to me, because what this game is, it's sort of like an extension of Street Pass, where you tell your personal information to your me, you know, maybe what your hobbies are or something like that. And then your me, you know, goes out there into the digital world and mingles with your friends' me's, and they trade information. And the idea is, oh, you're going to maybe learn something new about these friends of yours. That seems weird to me on so many levels. One, because, you know, one of the whole points of them going mobile is to try to, you know, leverage their brands and drive people to, you know, their other dedicated games businesses. And, you know, I'm not sure if that's going to work with this kind of game. And second, it's strange because, you know, Nintendo's always, you know, so concerned about, you know, sharing information and privacy. And it's so hard to, you know, even, you know, make friends online with your real world friends. And so presumably this is only going to be working, you know, with people on your friends list. So, you know, my me will be mingling with your me and going, hey, did you know that Hoff's hobby is video games? And you'll be like, well, yes, I did know that as a matter of fact. But maybe I'm thinking about it in the wrong way. Maybe there'll be more to it than that.
Well, just really quick on that one point, I don't remember if they said anything specifically about this either way, but I just assumed that you'd be able to interact with anyone.
Well, they kept saying friends. They said the word friends an awful lot in that briefing, in the transcription,
right,
translated in English anyway. So I don't know. I mean, if it's everybody that's like already on my Nintendo ID friends list, I mean, there's a lot of people on there that, you know, I, you know, don't know on a regular basis. So, you know, that could be fun and interesting. But if you have to start a new friends list from scratch, then it's going to be like, ah, sheesh, this is pointless.
Yeah, that would seem really limiting. I mean, if you're trying to, and they made some bold claims during the investor briefing in terms of what their ambition was with mobile. They were talking about how just these mobile games alone could generate billions, you know, in profit, billions of yen, I suppose, which mm-hmm. isn't as much as billions of dollars, but still. And that they really saw this as becoming a huge, significant chunk of the business. And I don't know why you would limit it. It doesn't seem like that would work to say this has to only work with people you've kind of met in real life. I thought it was a bit of an icebreaker. You know, what are the you know, the names.
Maybe. I mean, it kind of says, you know, you're learning things about your friends that you didn't, you know previously. So I don't know. I guess we're interpreting it different ways.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that people, that the kind of made up mocking names people started using to describe this is Nintendo, because it was essentially people's, I think, general perception was that, you know, you know, if you ride the train to work every day, you might, you know, constantly encounter this one person. You'd learn a little bit about them, and maybe that would encourage you to meet them or something like that, which, again, does seem to go against Nintendo's philosophy of, mm-hmm. you know, everyone but you could be a child molester.
I know.
But otherwise, I just don't see how it even begins to work. But setting that aside for a second, I think, you know, I do agree with you, but I have also a kind of a devil's advocate point of view on the selection of Miitomo as their first mobile offering. I think, you know, if you wanted to make a big splash and you wanted to show up in the mobile space and you wanted to say, the big boy is here, we brought some big brands, we're going to be a major player, it seems like the most obvious thing to do is to show up day one with Mario something.
That's what I would do.
Even, of course, it's not going to be a traditional Mario platformer. Of course, you know, I don't know if it's something akin to like a mobile version of Mario Teaches Typing or something like that. You don't want to be lame either. But that would have sent,
I would totally buy that.
That would have sent a clear message to everyone, like, you know, Disney showed up. They did their Mickey Mouse app right out of the gate. We mean business. But at the same time, I don't want to discount me, because one of the things that you and I, Hoff, have talked about a lot is you know, the reality that with the Wii, Nintendo, you know, they kind of slipped the Wii in right before mobile exploded, right before mm-hmm. everyone had smartphones.
Yeah, I mean, they really did expand the audience with that sucker.
Yeah, and you had people, I mean, it as much as it had great games, I don't mean necessarily to say this in a bad way, but it was kind of a pop culture fad as well. Mm-hmm. And you had people buying it just to play, you know, Wii Fit or Wii Bowling, and there were millions and millions and millions of people who were super into this, if even for a short amount of time. And what were they exposed to? Much more so than Mario or even Mario Kart, which was a major seller, obviously, they were exposed to the Miis. The Mii was kind of the representative of the Wii generation, I guess you would say. So all those people then left Nintendo, left kind of console gaming, not all of them obviously, but the kind of the fad audience left and went to mobile. And now they started getting their kind of like, you know, quick gaming fixes on the cheap there. So for a lot of those people, they might fondly remember me. You know, if me might be what Nintendo is to them. Of course, everybody knows Mario. But still, it's not like Nintendo didn't show up with a recognizable IP. They showed up with basically what is the face of Nintendo's casual gaming, the most successful era of casual gaming they've ever done.
Maybe. I mean, you think that in that case, they'd start with, you know, Brain Age or Nintendogs or something like that.
Right, right. And another thing, too, though, is they're also coming off of a huge success for Tomodachi Life. Which I think has outsold Ocarina of Time 3D, which you could say, well, that was a remake. But you could also say it's a sign of the times that as much as Zelda, the franchise isn't going anywhere, some of these new initiatives, although they don't necessarily target, you know, Nintendo fans like you and me, you know, are big deals. So, you know, it's like you said, I think Miitomo is kind of a combination of Street Pass, but also something like, you know, it's very similar to Tomodachi Life. So, you know, maybe that is some kind of social app slash game, maybe is something that could take off. Obviously, you know, they have four more games coming right behind this one. And who knows, the next one could be Mario. The one after that could be Pikmin. You know, all that stuff could be coming. I think we can critique this a lot better when we have, you know, the full picture in sight. But I don't know. I mean, I understand kind of a lot of people's reactions, and I kind of share some of that to, you know, hey, where's Mario? Where's Zelda? But at the same time, I'm kind of happy to play Mario on my consoles, at least for right now, and let them do more of the social experiment stuff on phones.
Now, what do you think about the fact that it is free to play with, you know, very attractive in-app purchases?
Well, that's to be expected. And to be
honest, the other ones, they said, you know, their upcoming games are just going to be, traditional, one-shot purchase. But not this one.
Well, I think this one lends itself. Let me put it this way: if I were offered in-app purchases in Miitomo, I would feel like it's a lot less egregious than if, you know, they're trying to nickel and dime me in something that feels a little bit more like a traditional Nintendo game. Even if it's something along the lines of like an Elite Beat Agents or something, if they're constantly saying, you know, would you like to skip this level for $1? Or, you know, would you like to download 5 more songs for this? You know, to some degree, maybe that's not the worst thing ever. But it still, would annoy me a lot more than whatever they're going to offer in this kind of social thing, which could just amount to like, you know, some extra me, you know, clothes or, I don't know what other funky kind of things you could put in there.
But yeah, it actually makes me wonder what kind of in-app purchases they are going to have, because it doesn't really seem like a kind of game that would lend itself to that very well. But maybe I'm just, lacking imagination in that department.
Well, one of the things that they didn't really get into depth about is the gamification of this. I mean, we saw examples of kind of Miis, you know, kind of sharing their favorite hobbies or revealing things about themselves. I mean, Nintendo really seemed to, it seems very centric or central to the Japanese culture, maybe, which is, where people are a little less outgoing, maybe by Western standards. But really seemed to be like, look, if you're this shy person on the train every day who kind of wants to communicate with people but doesn't, you know, have an outgoing personality, this thing's for you, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, they did seem to imply that, you know, your Miis would share this information that would lead to some sort of, chatting back and forth between real people. That was what the images were saying to me anyway.
Right, right. So I don't know then, but what they didn't get into was how this becomes a game. And, you know, right. ultimately, maybe it isn't, you know, a game. Maybe you would call it something else. But I would imagine Nintendo's going to at least put kind of a gamification on everything they do. It's what they had planned for quality of life, if that still happens. So they haven't gotten into that yet. So maybe once we learn more about the kind of the other aspects of Miitomo, we will see the bigger picture and maybe it'll make a little more sense.
Yep, perhaps so. But you know, for me, for now, it just it doesn't sound super appealing. Maybe it'll be a success. I don't know, but it doesn't really seem like something that I'm going to be too excited about.
Well, I'm still hoping that Nintendo will be able to put something out there on mobile that really appeals to traditional gamers in a way that hasn't really been done yet. But by and large, I'm never going to be, I don't think, as into Nintendo's mobile stuff as I am their dedicated system stuff. So a part of me just has to step back a little bit and say, this isn't really aimed at me. So I just kind of have to look at this with my head rather than my heart and kind of weigh what Nintendo's doing and see if it's going to benefit the whole of the company in the long run. By the way, a couple little more side notes about this. I haven't read this or heard this, but it seems pretty obvious. I'd imagine that the Tomo in Miitomo comes from Tomodachi, which is the Japanese word for friend, which makes it even more interesting that they didn't just use the Tomodachi Life brand for this, which seems to reinforce Nintendo's earlier statements that they're going to try to keep stuff fairly separate. They're not just going to take traditional games and put them on mobile as they existed on dedicated systems, which is nice to see.
But part of their plan has always been expanding the brands. And I think we'll probably see more of that. But who knows? I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a little bit about this amongst ourselves. What would the other games be that's on their lineup if it was up to you?
Well, I guess I would start from what their Nintendo's stated goals have been for their mobile games. And pretty much what they keep hammering in is like, look, we just want to add value to our IP. Like, yes, we want these games to make money on their own. And like I said, they're throwing around some big numbers in terms of what they think these games can pull in. But they're always quick to say, look, the core of our business is still dedicated systems. We want to put our brands out there, have them exposed to different audiences in different ways. Mm-hmm. And then we want to bring those people back to our core systems. And that's what where our heart's really going to continue to be.
Yeah. I mean, if it were me, I would try to, put something out there on mobile. That's like, here, this is sort of a taste of what you'll get, but this is just the appetizer. If you want the main course, you want to come over and join us here with our consoles.
Exactly. So kind of with that in mind, and trying to think about how you might balance out those first five. I don't know. I came up with a quick list of what my first five would be. Should I just rattle it off?
Why don't we tag back and forth? Why don't you you start with one, and then I'll get to mine.
Sure. Well, I'll take it as a given that my number one is obviously it's already been announced. It's Miitomo. It exists, so I'm not going to pretend that it doesn't. But
I am. Boy, am I ever.
So maybe I'll only have four ideas then. Because that was, I just figured that was going to round it out. So let's see here. I would say, and another point I'll make, not to stretch this out too much, is that I think with the classic characters and thinking about this, it occurred to me that Nintendo can really go two different ways with their IP. Mm-hmm. They can, they can put out a family-friendly Mario title that is really more about, Mario's kind of modern incarnation that maybe is targeted a little bit more at kids, depending on what they want to do. Or they can aim specifically at older users with more of their retro incarnations, which you've seen a lot with the Mario 30th anniversary, the pixel art, classic brands. So I think, some of my ideas incorporate both directions. I say for Mario, obviously, I'm going to start with Mario because obviously he has to be present on mobile. He is the corporate mascot. Nintendo isn't really on mobile unless he does show up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's a tough one because I think the obvious one is let's just make an endless runner like a lot of the Rayman games that are up there.
That was the first one I had on my list was a Mario endless runner. It just seems like such an obvious thing to do. And, while there are good endless runners and bad endless runners, I believe that Nintendo, could do a stellar job with it. And there's so much in the Mario universe that you could still do with that. You could have him running and getting, different suits. And, depending on whether you're in the frog suit or the cat suit or raccoon suit, you could, hover or go underwater or, be able to climb walls and, have different routes through the levels. And, if Rayman can do it, Mario can totally do it. So that would be my pick. And I know you're saying that would not be your pick. So please, by all means, go ahead.
Well, I guess what I'm working my way around to saying is I don't have a great pick for Mario. I think that makes sense to some degree. My fear with that, and I guess I felt this a little bit while playing the Rayman titles as well, is that it would feel like my ideal would be it would be something different. It would make sense with Mario, but it wouldn't be, because I feel like an endless runner is like a lesser version. It's like so close to the Mario games you would normally play, but yet crucially not, as good as those.
Like I said, it's the appetizer.
Yeah, I guess so. So it's not something I would be happy to see unless, but Nintendo surprises me. And I guess that's what I'm saying here. So is I really hope they surprise me. Now, something that I think ironically could work great on a smartphone right now mm-hmm. is just Dr. Mario.
Dr. Mario.
Yeah. Now they've said they're not going to just throw, you know, existing games onto mobile. And I kind of applaud that stance. But having said that, I mean, puzzle games obviously have been a huge part of mobile gaming. You've got the built-in Mario brand, and you've got a ready-made puzzle game. So maybe not Dr. Mario as we've traditionally seen him, but the franchise has gone through a couple of you know, twists with Dr. Luigi most recently and things like that. So maybe there is a mobile approach to Dr. Mario.
Well, they have done the Virus Buster game. That I think was, I think it was actually incorporated into one of the brain training games. And it was basically a touch-driven Dr. Mario.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
And I think it's been in some other version as well. I think it might be in the recent 3DS release. I didn't find it to be a great fit for a touch screen. I found it was a little, you know, clunky dragging those pieces around instead of using traditional buttons. But, you know, maybe if they took some new tactic on it, it could be worthwhile.
Maybe if it's reversed. Maybe if Mario is throwing the pills on his own, but you touch the viruses to change their color, and so you want to make sure they're the right color by the time the pills land on them, something like that.
Yeah, maybe some twist like that would work.
Yeah. So do you? I kind of spoke the most to Mario. You want to head into your next pick?
Well, I think my next pick would be one that you kind of alluded to earlier. You know, I would love to see them bring back Elite Beat Agents. And that was a game that was, you know, so darn good, but just, you know, didn't perform for whatever reason on the DS. So I would love to see them, you know, take that and make a new version of that, some sort of sequel that gives it new life on mobile. You know, it makes a whole lot of sense with the tapping and the spinning and things like that. That's, you know, very touch-centric gameplay. And, you know, again, you mentioned you would not want to see them expand it with add-on content, but I would, you know, actually enjoy that. I think that would be a good use of DLC and, you know, in-app purchases to be able to play more levels as, you know, new songs are released or, you know, new stuff that's appropriate for the game, you know, makes its way out there. I'd love to see that come back in any form, even mobile.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think... you know, I've always thought, and we've talked about this, how certain franchises, there are a handful of them, like Elite Beat Agents, that it's just a real shame that they didn't find a bigger audience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it when you have to charge, you know, $40, because their pricing, I think, even back when that came out, was even less scalable than it is today, you're not going to take a chance, you know, on a wacky game that has an unconventional gameplay style when you're not, you know, you're already kind of assured that you're going to enjoy it. And that's a game that really could have benefited from a demo back in the day. Mm-hmm. But if you're paying, you know, I think to your point, it financially, as from a business structure, it would make sense to buy like an initial, you know, or maybe the game is free to start with just one or two songs, or it has an initial pack for 99 cents with five songs or whatever, and you can add on to that. And I think it could really find an audience, you know, if the barrier to entry is very low and people get to check it out. And it seems to be one of those quirky things that could really catch on in the mobile space. It has the right look and vibe. My only concern about that game, and this occurred to me as I was considering putting it on my list, is that it is such an audio-based game. It's not exactly the kind of game you could play in line, you know, on your iPhone at a Starbucks.
Yeah, you need to have headphones, I think.
Yeah, you definitely need headphones, or you need to be in a very quiet room. You couldn't even play it really in public without headphones on. So mm-hmm. maybe less than ideal, but if that's not too big of a barrier for a lot of people, maybe it could still totally work. Somewhat along those lines, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, and I'm not sticking to the order I'd written these down. But I think WarioWare makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, along those same lines, that seems like something that's, you know, kind of perfect for mobile. WarioWare Touch was a great game.
Yeah. I mean, at one point or another, they've based a WarioWare game around pretty much all of the technical capabilities of a mobile phone. They've done motion sensing. They've done touch. And it doesn't have to be those same levels from those old games. You can still follow Nintendo's rule of not just taking you know, previously created content and shoving it on mobile.
But yeah, I think for any of these things we're talking about, you know, whether it's WarioWare or Elite Beat Agents, we wouldn't just want them to see trying to port a game. We'd want to see it, you know, doing something, you know, specifically for mobile.
Yeah, and you could build it from the ground up for mobile, but with the same conceit that these are really quick, kind of like time wasters, and with the same kind of fun, kind of, you know, funky presentation. And if you think about it, WarioWare as a franchise is the perfect one to introduce early on in this new initiative because
sure.
traditionally the WarioWare games were the ones that introduced new hardware that kind of, you know, one came out early on in the Wii's life cycle or on the DS that kind of showed you, here's what this hardware can do. Here's a little kind of experimentation with every little feature that this thing has. And, you know, you could totally introduce, you know, all of the different ways you could play mobile games through WarioWare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make a lot of sense to me. Let's see, I guess the next one on my list, I would probably go with some sort of Animal Crossing game. You know, Animal Crossing is a huge brand for them right now. You know, they've talked about, you know, wanting to appeal more to, you know, a broader audience, more females in the audience. That's something that Animal Crossing does really well. And so, you know, I would want to bring that to mobile and do something, you know, not, you know, exactly like Happy Home Designer, but something that hones in on just, you know, a specific aspect of the Animal Crossing experience and, you know, just delivers, you know, one corner of the Animal Crossing world and be like, here's something that you could really enjoy. It's not the full Animal Crossing game. You'll have to get our console for that. But, you know, here's, you know, something based around, you know, fruit or collecting bugs or, you know, fossils or something like that, that, you know, is very specific, but still very Animal Crossing and really pulls you into that world.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, if you think about it like this as well, with the way they're going to be connecting, you know, everything that they do, you know, you could potentially, you know, on your commute into work, you know, be playing this little Animal Crossing app, earning bells, then go home, put those bells that you earned back into like the home console version of Animal Crossing.
Yes, your the Nintendo account would know you're doing that.
Yeah.
And be then, able to expand that experience for you.
Maybe that'd be an incentive to play as well. It's, you know, if you're playing the console version, that you're being directed to mobile and saying, "Hey, look, if you want a fast way to get some bells and get Tom Nook off your back, you know, download this app and play this all day." And then the app, you know, would be saying, "Hey, now that you've got all these bells saved up, you know, it's really awesome. The full Animal Crossing game on NX or whatever, you know, go check that out." So that would make a lot of sense. Unfortunately, I think they've already kind of taken what is probably the most creative and fun aspect of Animal Crossing and spun it off into Happy Home Designer. I wouldn't necessarily want to have a whole game around collecting bugs or whatever, but to your point, I'm sure they could figure
bugs, man.
They could figure something out.
What'd they ever do
out.
To you?
You know, there's so many aspects of Animal Crossing is like the tedious stuff. And yeah, bugs are creepy crawly.
Maybe have something to do with, you know, designing clothing or something like that. That, I mean, the pattern making, you know, back in the day, that was, you know, one of the most popular things we had in Nintendo Power. So maybe that would be the way to go. That's what I do. Something with clothes designing.
If I remember right, too, on the GameCube game, wasn't there a way to, when you went to the island on Cap'n's boat, didn't you actually go onto the Game Boy Advance?
Oh, man, that's been so long, I do not even remember.
Yeah, one of those games, they had some kind of connectivity like that. So yeah, they've kind of already kind of done that a little bit. And they had that that Wii U app as well that came out around the time of A New Leaf where you could just kind of look at all of the HD models of the Animal Crossing critters hanging out by a big tree. So they've done little experiments.
I never actually used that.
I've turned it on. My kid loves to play like Where's Waldo type finding games. So we turned it into, I panned all the way out and we turned it into a finding game. but yeah, that's a great idea. And obviously the Animal Crossing characters are just so lovable and, you know, broadly appealing that it makes all the sense in the world to bring that IP over to mobile.
Mm-hmm. So what else you got?
Well, I was trying to think about Zelda, and that's a little bit more of a tricky one because it's such a traditional console experience, and it's also...
Yeah, I admit I was thinking the same thing. And I was thinking, you know, when you're talking Nintendo's big brands, you got to have Zelda there. And that's a franchise that really deserves to have an expanded audience because, you know, I feel like, you know, it's not quite up there, you know, with some of the big franchises in the gaming world right now. And if mobile can expand that, you know, that's something that Nintendo really needs to do. But how do you do it? That's the trick.
Well, you can't do a full-on Zelda game. You just can't. I mean, other people have tried to do it on mobile, and they've had, I mean, stuff like Oceanhorn is a pretty cool homage, I guess. But it still doesn't hold a candle to a real Zelda title. And I don't think Nintendo wants to have an approximation of a real Zelda title on mobile.
No, I wouldn't want to see that either. I mean, they could. They could try to be like, okay, here's, you know, Phantom Hourglass 2 or something. I mean, that was all totally touch-driven. And, you know, they could try to do that. But that's not what I'm thinking. You know, I would want something that, again, is just, you know, dishing out a portion of that Zelda experience in that Zelda world. And I was trying to figure out, you know, what's the best way to do that?
Right. And just to kind of, for anyone out there that might have, you know, be thinking, well, why is it such a bad idea? Aside from Nintendo wanting you to buy their own systems. Well, just a couple more quick points on that. One thing is, the Zelda games have huge budgets. It takes forever to make a good Zelda game, to create all those dungeons. You can't do that and then, you know, give the game away for mobile prices. And no one wants to play free-to-play Zelda. And also, Zelda is kind of this is part of the problem, I think, in figuring out the proper approach on mobile is more so than Mario, which is, it's more of a broadly appealing, you know, Nintendo's Mickey Mouse. Zelda it's very well known. It's been around forever. But it's also more of a aimed at a core gaming audience. Mm-hmm. We've seen the kind of the sales numbers on past Zelda games. They still sell, you know, a million or two. But, you know, they've been going down over time and, you know, they're kind of out, you know, way outsold even by something like Tamagotchi Life. So how do you take something that's a little more narrow focused and broaden it? So that all that stuff makes it tricky. So I just came up with kind of an off the wall idea. It's almost certainly not what Nintendo would do. But, you know, I thought if you just took the dungeons, right? And I'm mm-hmm. thinking 2D dungeons, maybe even NES era, maybe SNES era Zelda dungeons.
Okay, sure.
And maybe if you're even the bad guys putting these dungeons together. Maybe I thought about this old PlayStation 2 title, the series from Tecmo called Deception, and mm-hmm. The point in that game was you actually set up a room with traps, and then the monsters would come in. And
yeah, there were also some games like that on WiiWare. I remember there was a Final Fantasy game like that where you're trying to keep out the heroes.
Right. I forgot about that. So maybe, you know, if you're kind of placing that stuff and then Link comes in and you're trying to trap him, or maybe more likely Link, you know, you wouldn't want Link to be the bad guy. Maybe you're Link and you're kind of overseeing this dungeon and you're trying to put little, you know, it's almost like a Mario Maker, but not, because you wouldn't have full reign on doing every little detail of this dungeon. It would maybe be like really bite-sized, like room by room. It would be mm-hmm. missing a couple of key pieces, almost like more of a puzzle game. You'd have to think about what little thing do I need to change or add here to trap the enemy, and then you'd move, you know, you'd win and move on to the next level. So that could lend itself well to that mobile format of, like, you know, really quickly, how do you puzzle this out? You know, can you go the extra mile and get three, you know, gold stars on this? So maybe something like that would still feel Zelda-y in a way, but, you know, be more pick up and play suited for mobile without trying to cannibalize on the home console series.
Yeah, I could see something like that. That's probably better than what I was thinking of. You know, my first thought was like, oh, let's just do something that's maybe, you know, some sort of, you know, Zelda style mini games, you know, maybe something along the lines of Link's crossbow training, where it's just, you know, focusing on a, you know, a shooting gallery type of experience, or, you know, some sort of, you know, something involving, you know, colored rupees and, you know, turning that into a puzzle game of some sort. I wasn't really able to come up with a good, you know, solid premise, but, you know, something along those lines I thought would be cool. But I think I like your idea better.
Well, the Zelda shooting title is a good example of how they have taken that franchise off in weird kind of side directions occasionally. Mm-hmm. There was also Tetris Trackers, which I don't think was ever released, but was shown at E3. Little more Zelda-y mini games. So I think something like we both touched on that doesn't try to give a full-on Zelda experience for all the reasons we listed before, but still doesn't feel so far removed that it's like a Zelda-themed calculator or something.
Right.
It's still kind of, you know, does that. And, you know, again, I think maybe there's even more potential, like we said with Animal Crossing, in releasing companion apps for console titles. You know, I'd love to see something on my phone that maybe incorporates Tingle in some funny way that maybe, again, is a way to earn rupees or something that I can then take back to the full game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they did have that, you know, the Tingle, was it Tingle Tracker that tied in with the GameCube release of Wind Waker?
Oh, no.
Maybe it could be something like that.
I think that was another connectivity thing with the
yes,
Game Boy Advance. Yeah.
Yep, yep. Exactly. Anyway, we can certainly both agree that we want to see them do something with Zelda. The brand deserves it, and hopefully they can come up with something clever and fun.
And to the point of the brand deserving it, we've said this forever. The release of a new Zelda game should be a bigger deal than it is. I mean, when a new Assassin's Creed comes out, a new Halo comes out, those mm-hmm. things are marketed like these are epic milestones for the console you bought. You bought your console for this. And mm-hmm. Nintendo doesn't put that kind of emphasis on new Zelda releases. So, you know, hopefully, in addition to stepping up their other promotional efforts, they can reestablish Zelda as a significant brand on mobile.
Yeah, totally. So what's your next one?
Well, this would be my last one because, like I said, in addition to Miitomo, I only came up with four new ideas. But but along the lines I mentioned earlier of how you can take the retro route and appeal to an older audience, I thought, well, who else does Nintendo have? You've got, you know, Link's fairly recognizable. Mario's obviously the figurehead. Mii's, I think, again, are very recognizable. And I thought, well, a lot of people know Donkey Kong.
Sure.
I don't know that I have a brand new idea here, but I just thought, you know, if you think the most retro incarnation of Donkey Kong that everyone's familiar with, it's the original arcade game. And then I thought, you know, we've talked about it a lot recently on the show, how much I love, how much we both love the I don't know if you call it a sequel or a remake that came out for the Game Boy that had all the new levels that got, you know, a bit more complex. And I thought maybe something along those lines, you know, on mobile. I hesitate to say like a touch-controlled Donkey Kong game, but, you know, just something that taps into that kind of retro feel of that original title but expands upon it for an audience who maybe, you know, remember that old stuff or at least is familiar with the Donkey Kong character.
Yeah, I could see something like that. Be fun to have Donkey Kong come back again. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
My last idea, though, is something that I like to call, and Nintendo, I hope you're listening in on this. This is be brilliant. Something I like to call Mario Maker Creator, where it's basically just the level editor of Super Mario Maker. There's, you know, you can't actually play the game, but you can, you know, you have access to all the tools, you design the levels, and then if you want to actually, you know, make this thing playable and uploadable, you know, it you know, ties in to, you know, the Wii U Super Mario Maker. It, you know, connects to that through your Nintendo account. And, you know, then you'll be able to actually, you know, upload and play the levels. But, you know, if you're just on the subway heading into work, you can, you know, whip out this app, start creating some levels without being at your Wii U. And, you know, we love Mario Maker as it is, but just think of how, you know, much that could expand upon our enjoyment of it. I would love to see something like that.
Well, you know, if that existed today, I would definitely be using it because I've taken to carrying around a spiral notebook just so I can jot down Mario Maker ideas if I'm away from the house. And, you know, that, again, it comes back to how not only, and I'm sure with a lot of these, probably these first initiatives, they're trying to put out these things that can be huge standalone successes. But I think there's real value in a lot of these companion kind of apps that that are along the lines of what you just said and some of the stuff that I mentioned. You know, just how they can expand the experience at home. And even better, if it still kind of works as a standalone thing, but you feel like you're really missing out on something if you don't mm-hmm. tie it into this other thing.
Well, I think it would. I mean, with this idea, you know, it's like you still get that, you know, creative aspect. You get to get the creative juices flowing. You get to design this level, but, you know, just missing that that key component that you would need a console for.
Yeah. Yeah, and once you've kind of got a piece of something, it makes you want the other piece. I remember mm-hmm. my friend I used to work with, actually Stephen Frost, who went on to work at Sega and work on Sonic and things like that. He told me he got a PlayStation because he had bought I believe it was an issue that I worked on of game players. Maybe it was of PSM, but it was it had a pack-in disc, and it was a demo disc for a Dungeons and Dragons fighting game, which sounds like the worst idea ever, and it was a forgettable game. And,
yeah, I don't even remember that.
And it wasn't even a game he necessarily wanted to play, but he ended up owning that disc, and it was burning a hole in his pocket. He had to have the system to play that disc, and I think that's what led him to buy a PlayStation. Apologies to Steve if I'm misremembering part of his story, but I think, you know, that does hold true. Once you have a little piece of something, you know, you want to go out and get the rest of it.
Yeah, so that's our top fives. Are there any other thoughts you have on their mobile endeavors?
Well, just some random things that occurred to me as I was coming up with my five there is I thought Box Boy would have been a great mobile game. You know, the game from HAL that came out earlier this year that I really loved. What else did I have here? You know, we've heard that a new Pikmin game is pretty much done. Miyamoto said that, and a lot of people speculated maybe that's for mobile. I think that would make a lot of sense. Obviously, Nintendo has said they're not just going to take franchises as they exist and 100% port them over, but a touch-controlled you know, Pikmin would kind of work as is, so they could adapt that however they like.
I guess. I mean, yeah. I mean, you would hope that the new Pikmin is coming out for NX or something like that. That would be kind of a big kick in the pants if it turned out to be a mobile game. But I guess it's not outside the realm of possibility, and it would probably work pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'd rather have it on the NX. But at the same time, I think that's a franchise that, I mean, I don't know what the last game sold, but I always get the sense that it's kind of just hanging in there, primarily because Miyamoto came up with the idea and loves it. And also there's a very, you know, vocal kind of core contention of fans of that series. But it's never, I don't think it's ever going to really have blockbuster success. But maybe, but it plays great. And maybe those mechanics, if they could be ported over to mobile, maybe, again, like you said, with Elite Beat Agents, maybe it finds a broader audience. You know, I thought Paper Mario, that franchise, would also work well on a touch screen, but I don't necessarily want to play it there. What else did I have? You know, we talked about Elite Beat Agents and WarioWare. Rhythm Heaven obviously would work very well for the same reasons. It occurred to me that maybe light gun games like Duck Hunt could be done kind of Fruit Ninja style, where you're kind of tapping on stuff or swiping it rather than shooting.
Yeah, I thought maybe, you know, some of the that Fruit Ninja type gameplay could be incorporated into the you know, the Zelda you know, crossbow training idea that I had. So instead of just your crossbow, you could also have a sword mode as well, and you'd be slashing stuff like that.
Yeah, you're...
maybe it is better in something like you know, Duck Hunt or, you know, Hogan's Alley 2016 or something like that.
Hogan's Alley 2040. But maybe you could be like tapping things to shoot with your bow and arrow and then swiping to slash with your sword. That'd be pretty cool in a Zelda thing. I think the thing that got me excited the most, though, is I remember this was a couple of years ago now, probably at another one of these investor briefings. It seems like we have them all the time. But I believe...
Yeah, it's every 3 months or so.
Yeah, it was... Miyamoto made some comments that initially kind of alarmed everyone. It sounded like he was about to retire when he talked about potentially approaching the point in his career where he would scale things down, work on fewer projects. And I think he specifically spoke about working on a handful of smaller projects that he could turn around quickly and maybe be more creative with. I don't think he put it that way, but that was my reading of it. And I thought, well, you know, what would a Miyamoto develop smartphone game be if he decided, and if he does get to that point where he's like, you know, I'm not going to juggle, you know, five AAA games anymore at a certain point, but I am still a creative guy. I love to tinker. You know, take the Miyamoto that made Donkey Kong back in the 80s and tell him to make a similar kind of just really fun kind of pick up and play quarter muncher. You know, I'd love to see what some of Nintendo's top talent can do if they approach these games less like, you know, like they're being forced to take their medicine and more like I'm freed up now from the usual kind of blockbuster AAA constraints to just kind of go back to my roots and kind of, you know, express my creativity in different ways. I'm hoping we see a lot of that.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of hoping we would get some of that out of, you know, WiiWare and DSiWare, and I don't think we really did, but, you know, mobile gives it another chance to happen.
Yeah, that's true. That was the big knock against Nintendo's digital efforts is that they've never really supported it. I mean, on WiiWare, there was never really that key kind of Nintendo game that said, you know, we're planting a flag here. This is what we expect. You know, this is the bar that third parties should be looking to reach. They just kind of said, well, we're kind of being dragged into this. Here's this space. Put something here if you want. You know, we're going to go back to doing what we like to do. That's what it felt like anyway.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I guess my only other thing to add is that, you know, aside from, you know, actual games, you know, they could do, you know, just a lot of stuff with apps to appeal to the, you know, Nintendo fan in people. I mean, hopefully they're going to be putting stuff out there that's, you know, heavy on promotion. Hopefully there's stuff that's like, oh, you know, here's a way to track my my game collection, or to track my amiibo collection even.
That would be amazing, especially if it would like give you a heads up whenever a new release date's announced or whenever a pre-order becomes available.
Yeah, that'd be handy.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And, you know, maybe there'd even be a way to, I don't know, this probably is anti-Nintendo, but I was going to say arrange trades with people primarily for the cards. But I don't know, you could probably build a lot into that little app, just something that kind of helps you collect amiibo and have even more fun with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, hopefully Nintendo has a lot of cool ideas up its sleeve. You know, those are ours, but you know, they're the experts, so they should know what they're doing.
Yeah, if two regular Joes like you and me can come up with that stuff like in an hour or whatever, I'm sure the pros at Nintendo who have been thinking about this, stressing over it for months and months, if not years, have got you know, much more compelling stuff on the way.
All right. Well, you know, as we have mentioned several times, you know, Mario is not going to be their first mobile effort. But, you know, sort of in recognition of that, I believe it is time for another dramatic reading, this time from the back of the box of Mario is Missing for the Super NES. Is this the deep freeze for Mario? Deep within his snowbound hideaway, the fiendish Bowser is plotting to do away with Mario by turning up the heat all the way to barbecue. Does this spell meltdown for Mario? 10,000 terrible turtles are trying to broil the tundra and liquidate Mario and the Mario Brothers legend forever. The lone Luigi leaps in, but will he get cold feet? Only you can act fast and help him turn the tables on those reckless reptiles. Can you and Luigi save Mario and the world from a damp and dismal doom? Time is running out. To save the planet from meltdown, you and Luigi must fearlessly explore exotic cities, master mysterious maps, thwart thieving Koopas, interrogate not-so-innocent bystanders, endure entertaining examinations. What does that mean? Collect your just rewards and rescue that practically a popsicle plumber, Mario.
Wow, that writer was really big on alliteration.
Yes, yes he was.
And also, it's kind of confusing how he kept referring to you and Luigi. It's like, am I me in the game? Next to Luigi?
So many of the old games were like that.
But my favorite thing about this is technically Luigi's first starring role, yet Mario's name is still on the box.
This is true.
All right, well, that's it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow The Hoff on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and I'm at Chris Slate. Hoff also has a really great blog called Still Playing with Power, which you can find at christhehoff.tumblr.com. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, please drop by iTunes and give us a rating. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Chris Slate.
See ya.
And our speedy friend, Sonic.
You're too slow.
We will see you next time.